May the divine assistance remain always with us.
Amen.
So good evening.
Good evening.
So as is my practice for many years, the conference this evening is a reflection for the Triduum. As you know, we are on the threshold where we've actually begun Holy Week with our first Vespers. But tonight I'm taking some quotes. It's a mini anthology, perhaps, from a various number of sources, from the Roman Missal, from church fathers, and from contemporary Catholic theologians, liturgists, and liturgist authors. So from the Roman Missal, we read this. The Triduum is a single celebration of the Paschal mystery presented over 3 days under different aspects. Important to remember that. It's one celebration, not three, which is why on Holy Thursday we begin the celebration in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we only conclude the end of the liturgy after the Paschal Vigil, where the presider will say, the Mass is ended, go in peace, etc., etc. Christian remembering is more than retracing the Lord's steps during his last days in Jerusalem. So this is not just a history lesson. At the Holy Thursday Eucharist, the church is already drawn into the whole event of Jesus' death and resurrection. The Good Friday celebration of the Lord's Passion is austere, but never sad, for the risen Lord already reigns triumphant. On Holy Saturday, the church waits. You know, there was a movie that called The Longest Day, commemorating the Allied invasion of the Normandy coast on June 6th, I think it was, 1944, The Longest Day. I've often thought that's an apt description of Holy Saturday in some ways. Seems to be the longest day, although seems to go fast sometimes too, but nevertheless. The church waits for the celebration of Christ's resurrection and its own at the Easter Vigil. So we're very much involved in the resurrection of Christ, as we know. When the Spirit hovers over the waters of the font and the community of faith drinks deeply again of the mystery of Jesus' passage from death to life. Of course, the word passage, really Pascha in Hebrew, or the Passover, or the passage. From St. Augustine, we hear this. Pay attention, therefore, to the sacred 3 days of the crucified, buried, and resurrected one. Of these three, the cross is the one whose meaning we realize in the present life, while the burial and the resurrection signify something we believe and hope for. And then from a contemporary U.S. Catholic theologian, liturgist, and an author of a number of liturgical books, Peter Massar. Once the sun sets on Holy Thursday, the entire church is swept into its Passover. Time stops. As wondrously strange as this may seem, we enter eternity. The Christian Passover will not be understood apart from keeping watch waiting, anticipating. The Paschal Triduum requires of us a liturgical piety that prods us to put everything else aside, even time itself, in the presence of the awesome mystery. And I know that was so very evident to me, my very first Triduum here in the monastery. First of all, it seemed like I would never get to the Paschal Vigil. It just went on and on and on. Those 3 days, my first year here. Because I'd never, you know, you went to church on Holy Thursday, and then you went home or wherever, went back to your home, and then you usually worked on Good Friday. Was just another work day for those of us in the workforce, you know, and then you went to the Good Friday celebration, and then you went home, and then Saturday you were piddling about your business and went to the Paschal Vigil Saturday night. But in the monastery it was a very different experience. Another contemporary theologian, an author of a number of liturgical books, David Philippart, who works in Chicago, as far as last I knew. Each year, each time this great festival comes around, chased back by the equinox of the sun, beamed down to earth by the full moon, each year I know more deeply the utter loveliness of the Triduum. Since the last Triduum, I have wandered in circles mostly, made some radical changes too, both with their attendant dangers. Another year passed, and there are more possibilities of drowning, more places in which to escape love. But then sun and moon conspire to bring back this three-in-one day, this festival of old words that still bite, in this rehearsal of stiff gestures that teach us to dance, even to fly. Yet these small, stiff gestures are so real and true. They make us and make us new. They turn us toward the sun, swell us up toward the moon. They put the light of the stars in our eyes and blow a bit of breath into our earthen frames. Very poetic. He mentions, after another year, there are more possibilities of drowning. Well, that's an allusion to baptism, of course, where in one sense we do drown. But of course, there is a death, but there is a life. And finally, from the great church, early church theologian and father of the church, Origen, he has really this prayer directed to Jesus himself. Origen says, "Jesus, come. My feet are dirty. You have become a servant for my sake. So fill your basin with water. Come, wash my feet." I know that I am bold in saying this, but your own words have made me fearful. Quote, "If I do not wash your feet, you will have no companionship with me. Wash my feet then, so that I may be your companion." But what am I saying? Wash my feet. Peter could say these words, for all that needed washing were his feet. For the rest, he was completely clean. I must be made clean with that other washing of which you said, I have a baptism with which I must be baptized.